राधे राधे, जय श्री राधे। श्री राधा कुंद की जय, श्याम कुंद की जय, गिरि गोवर्धन की जय, श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु की जय, नित्यानंद गौरंगा, नित्यानंद गौरंगा। Nityananda Gauranga, Nityananda Gauranga, Nityananda Gauranga, Nityananda Gauranga, Nityananda Gauranga, Nityananda Gauranga, Gauranga, Nityananda 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 Gauranga, Nitai Gaur, Nitai, Nitai, Jai Vine Vai Radha Krishna Paite Nai Jai Vine Vai Radha Krishna Paite Nai Nittai Vine Vai Radha Krishna Paite Nai Jai Vine Vai Radha Krishna Paite Nai Nityananda Gauranga Nityananda Gauranga Nityananda Gauranga Nitai Gauranga Nitai Gauranga Gauranga Nityananda Gauranga Nityananda Gauranga Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Bol Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram
Boliye
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bole Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Radhe 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 Jai Shri Radhe 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 Jai Shri Radhe 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 Jai Shri Radhe 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 Jai Shri Radhe 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Bol, Jai Radhe, Jai. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Krishna. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Vrindavan Bihari Lala Ki Jai Radha Rani Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe Shyam Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. So this is the place of Radhe Shyam, the Vrindavan Dham. So Radha and Shyam are here everywhere in Vrindavan. But they're here in a very special form, and they're expansions. I don't know if you say expansions, really. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Raghunath Das Goswami, they say there's no difference between Radharani and Radhakund. And there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna Kund or Shyamakund. We've often told before that the Brijvasis, when they're living here, the Radhakundvasis especially, when they say, "Oh, I'm doing Prikama," they don't say, "Oh, I'm going Prikama, I'm going to Radhakund to do Prikama," or, "Mother, I'm going now, I'll be back in a half hour. I'm going with my girlfriends, we're going to walk around Radhakund." They don't say that. Well, they say, "Oh," even the mother will ask her, "Oh, Beta, have you done Radharani Prikama today? Have you done Prikama of Radharani?" And then she's, "Oh no, I have to go do Prikama of Radharani." So they're trained that way, they see that way, they feel that way. The Brijvasis, Radhakundvasis, that Radhakund is Radharani. And don't even speak about Krishnakund. Shyamakund, he's there, obviously. It's right here. Shyamakund is right here. But this is their mood. So there's a nice prayer from Padma Purana that is quoted in Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion and so many other places, which we oftentimes repeat. And we can repeat this together. It's a glorification of Radharani and Radhakund. Yata Radha Priya Vishnu Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Savagopishu Sevaika Vishnu Ratyanta Valabha. Translation. Among all the Braja Gopis, Radharani is Krishna's Pranavallabha. He's the beloved of her life, the dearmost beloved of Krishna's life. Similarly, Radharani's favorite lake or pond, you can say lake or pond, Sri Radhakund is also extremely dear to Krishna. As much as Krishna loves Radharani, he loves Radhakund. So naturally, we're aspiring to be lovers of Radharani and lovers of Krishna. So then Radhakund become very dear to us and very important to us for our memories and for our prayers and for our seva. Das Goswami explains in Upadeshamrita that where are we going here on this marg of bhakti? Bhakti marg means the path of devotion, the road of devotion. Where is it leading to? Where is it going towards? Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. It's going towards Prayojan. Prayojan means the goal, the destination. What is the destination? The final point. And Rupa Goswami tells in Nectar of Instruction, he says the final goal is Siddha Deha, spiritual body. And the final goal is to attain one's spiritual body, his or her Siddha Deha, and live on the banks of Radhakund in the service of Radharani. So that's it. that's it. Whether you come here as Madhu Mangal or Sridham, a follower of Sridham or Subal, Priyanama Sakas, the final point, the highest point, the ultimate point of devotion, of seva, and of intimacy and love is Radhakund, the banks of Radhakund. So even those that are aspiring for Sakyaras, the mood of love towards Krishna as a coward boy, if they want to really please Krishna and be his really good friend and be his very dear and intimate friend, then they won't simply wrestle with him and defeat him and carry him on their backs, or have Krishna carry them on their backs, or jump off the trees and pull the tails of the monkeys and jump in the Jamuna after the frogs and run behind the cows and follow the shadows of the birds on the sandy banks of the Yamuna. The birds are flying over and the boys. That's nice, and those are all parts of the seva of sakiras, of friendship. But if you really want to please a friend, you should give a friend what he likes the most. If you want to please someone, and you're a cook, you know, cooking, you'll say, well, what do you really like? And the person will say, I really like Krishna Balaram's Mangal Artig Burfi. You can make like that? Oh, I'd better go to Vrindavan and study in Radharani's kitchen. I have to learn the secrets. So therefore, if I want to cook and please you, I'll learn how to make burfi, I'll make it, and I'll give it to you. I mean, I'll offer it to Krishna and Balaram, Radhisham. So Krishna, what is the greatest offering that the coward boys can give Krishna? Who are the most intimate coward boys? Who are the most loving, confidential coward boys? They're called the Priyas, Priya Nama Sakas, like Subal and Sridhar. There's very heart of Krishna. So therefore, they give him Radharani. They give him Radhakund. They bring Krishna to Radhakund. They make arrangements for Krishna to their boyfriend, their intimate boyfriend, they make arrangements for him to come here without any impediment and meet Radharani and the other gopis. So even if one is on a bhakti marg in Sakyabhav, the mood of love of a coward boy, or he's on the bhakti marg in the mood of Madhurya, Palyadasi Bhav or Manjri Bhav, conjugal mood, Rupa Manjri, Rati Manjri, Rupanuga Vaishnavas, then everyone will, they'll all be here. As we're all sitting here, some are coward boys, some are gopis, right? But the common center is Radhakund and Shyamakund. The common center is Radha and Shyam. The coward boys, they're all like they are, and the gopis are like they are. But now, this is the point, that Radhakund is not another place in Vrindavan. It's described that Radhakund is the Braja Mukut Mani. Braja Mukut Mani. As you know, Manipur, there's a state of Manipur, means jewels. There's many mountains there. Many hills and mountains, and hills and mountains are the repositories of many types of jewels. Diamonds and emeralds and gold and so many things are there. Manipur, the whole country, even today, is full of so many jewels and opulence. So this mukut, of course, means crown. And money means a jewel in the crown. So the crest jewel, in English, the crest, the topmost, the crest means the topmost. The crest jewel, the topmost jewel in the Braja Dham of all the Leela Stalis is Sri Radhakund ki Jai. So we're on the top, we're on the mukut. Braja Mukut Mani. Radhakund is Braja Mukut Mani, the jewel in the crown. So let's discuss some of the pastimes here, because if we want to actually enter Radhakund in our Siddhadeyas, we have to get rid of a lot of demons. There's a lot of demons that we have to kick out of our hearts and kick out of our minds, beginning with the mind itself. The biggest demon we have to kick out of our mind is the mind itself. So the biggest demon is the mind. But in Radhakund, he comes in a very clever disguise. This is to just see how our mind is working. We think our mind is very dharmic and religious. And we trust our mind. We have a lot of faith in our mind. We've been together for a long time. We have implicit faith in our mind, isn't it? But now, this is an interesting point about Radhakund, that the main demon that came here, he came here posing as religion, as Aristasura. Now, what was he trying to do? He was trying to stop the flow of Brajaras. That's what demons do. And that's what our minds do half the time also. Our minds are always stopping the flow of Braj Bhakti, of Brajaras. The flow. The flow means the river is flowing, right? The flow of the river. And you dam it. Make a dam and generate electricity. Then the river doesn't go anywhere. It becomes stagnant. So Krishna, he wanted to have a very special rasa dance, a Radha rasa dance. There's Maharas dance in the banks of the Jamuna in Vrindavan. You can read about in the 10th canto of Krishna book, chapter 29 through 33. It's called the Rasa Panch, Panch Adhyaya. Adhyaya means chapter, Panch means Panchatapa, means five. Five chapters of the rasa dance. So Radharani was thinking, this is Maharas, but this is not Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. I want to experience Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. So therefore, Radharani intimated to Shamsundar that this Ras in Vrindavan is diluted. It is not concentrated. Overflowing ecstatic bliss. Sandra Atma Visheshatma. Sandra Atma Visheshatma. It is something different. Some dilution is caught. Chandravali has mixed some other thing in here, and Padma and Shaivya and these other Vipaksha anti-party Sakis, they have mixed some non-rasa, non-radaras elements here. Now Krishna said, all right, fine. Giraj Dharana Ki. He said, listen, you come to Radhakund and we'll have a rasa dance in Ardha Pradosh. Ardha Pradosh means the midway between the Pradosh Leela from 8:24 in the evening until 10:48. It's about 9:30 at night. It's a good time to begin a party. If you want to begin a party, begin about 10 o'clock. So Krishna invited, and then Aristasura comes and says, what is this? He's Dharma personified. He's religion personified, Aristasura. There's two. Religion comes in two supports. The bull of religion and the cow of religion. One plows the fields for grains, and grains are required for yajna, and one gives the milk and ghee, and together with the grains and milk and ghee, then yajna is performed. So religion means the cow. Religion means the bull. So Rishtasura comes here and says, hey, Hare. Huge figure, big black bull like we saw his little brother. We saw his little brother at Govindakund. So now this Rishtasura, he represents our mind posing as religion, but actually acting as a big black demon. Our minds are sometimes big black demons. Usually demons come in two colors, right? They're either red or black, or a combination of both. Sometimes they're black, their bodies are as dark as coal. Coal, you know coal? Burning a fire? Their bodies are black as coal, but their hair is flaming red. Wiry and flaming red. And they have flaming red cinder eyeballs. So that's the combination of red and black. So here comes this big black bull. Hey, man. Watch out. And Krishna says, Hare, what's this guy trying to prove? So he defeated him. So our mind is coming and saying, oh, I have a very good religious idea for you. I have a very good religious idea. So the mind is pretending to be like Dharma. Our mind is pretending to be religious, but it gives us all black ideas, all negative, irreligious ideas. So that mind has to be kicked down. That false dharmic mind has to be destroyed by Krishna's feet. He actually stomps the guy. He grabs his horns and picks it out and smashes him, and then he steps on him. He makes, like you wring out cloth. If you have some cloth, they go like this. Get the water out. And water comes down. So he just put his foot on, finished them. So we have to put our foot down. They have an expression in English. I'm going to put my foot down. This is in America when the father wants to get heavy on the son. Listen, I'm putting my foot down around here. You have to start listening to me. You can't steal my car every weekend. You can't take money out of my wallet. You can't, you know, all the things that people do, right? So getting serious. So we have to get serious with our own minds. So let's hear about this Aristasura person from Nectar of Devotion. Because we want to end up successful on the path of bhakti. We want to end up in the banks of Radhakund, and we want to attain our siddhadeya to serve Krishna and Balaram and Radha Shyam and Govardhan and Radhakund. But we have a lot of work to do. We have to kick out this demon and replace, it's called chalak. Chalak or kapat. Kapat dharma. Kapat dharma means cheating religion. And we're told that in the Bhagavatam in the second verse, isn't it? Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. It's first canto of Bhagavatam, maybe second verse or so. Dharma projita kaitava dharma means cheating religion, false religion. Kapat, in Hindi they say kapat. Cheating religion. So this has to be kicked out. Sri Rupa Goswami gives us some very nice entries to reflect a little bit about Aristasura, which I would like to share with all of you. Krishna has 64 beautiful qualities. And one of his qualities is that Krishna is strong. He's Balyan. Balyan means Krishna is very strong. A person who has extraordinary bodily strength is called Balyan, like Balaram. When Krishna killed the Aristasura demon, some of the gopis said, "Hey, Sakis, just see how Krishna has killed Aristasura. Although that demon bull was stronger than a mountain, Krishna plucked him up like a piece of cotton and threw him away without any difficulty." So this is the pride of the lover. The lover is proud of her hero. The heroine is proud of her hero. And our hero is Krishna. He's the hero of all the gopis. He's a superman, superstar. Number one. Box in the box office, or whatever they call it. So they say, "Hey, Sakhi, you saw how he defeated that demon?" "Oh, yeah, that guy was so big, he picked him up with a cotton ball. Huh, poof." Krishna's so powerful. They're going, probably going like this. "Yeah, did you see Krishna?" So this is their love, their appreciation. Love means appreciation. Love means gratitude. Love means glorifying the beloved. Love means to become enamored and captivated by the qualities of the beloved. This is love. Love without captivation is not love. Love without appreciation is not love. And love without gratitude is not love. The gopis are showing a very nice aspect of love. They love Krishna. Gopi Bhav. Gopi Prem. Braja Prem. They're amazed. "Wow! Did you see that?" How do you translate that into Russian? How do you say wow in Russian? Wow! Wow, Saki! Dekho! Ghanasham Radhe Radhe, Ghanasham Radhe Radhe. Ghanasham Radhe Radhe, Ghanasham Radhe Radhe. Ghanasham Radhe Radhe, Ghanasham Radhe Radhe. Ghanasham Radhe Radhe, Ghanasham Radhe Radhe.
Shama Radhe Radhe, Gana Shama Radhe Radhe. Nikunja Mevi Raje, Gana Shama Radhe Radhe.
Yeah.
Nikunja Mevi Raje, Gana Shama Radhe Radhe. Nikunja Mevi Raje.
Vi Raje. Nikunja Me Viraje means please come into the kunja. Yes? Ganesham or Radhe Radhe, O Radharani, O Ganesham, please come into the kunja so I can serve you there, massage your feet, and offer you some drinking water and fan you with chamara, and give you some tambul, maybe some fruit drinks, or some chandan on your forehead because you've been wandering in the forest and it's very warm, so you feel some heat. Gana shama radhe radhe, gana shama radhe radhe. Ganesham Radhe Radhe, Ganesham 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 Radhe Radhe. Nikunja Mevi Raje, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Nikunja Mevi Raje, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Radhe 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 Radhe. Radhe 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 Radhe. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ganesham Radhe Radhe, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Nikunja Mevi Raje, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Nikunja Mevi Raje, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai, Radha Rani Ki Jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. It's another quality of Krishna. He's a very meticulous and expert dresser. When he dresses, he looks so fabulous. When he puts on his turban, his chadar, and dhoti, and all his flowers and leaves and sprigs and all these things. This quality is called Lalita. Lalita. And this is in relationship with this pastime of Aristasura. That's why we're mentioning it, because we're talking about Aristasura and removing him from our hearts so we can engage in the intimate service of Krishna in our siddhadeya. When our minds and hearts become pure, then we can serve the Lord. A person who is very fond of dressing himself is called Lalita, or a meticulous dresser. Sometimes, like you meet children like this. So Krishna is like this. This quality, this tendency actually comes from Krishna.
So this characteristic was found in Krishna in two ways. One is that Krishna was a meticulous dresser when he was dressing Radharani. It's one thing to be particular and meticulous and careful about dressing yourself, but Krishna was very careful and particular about dressing Radharani. He used to decorate Radharani with various gopi dots and bindi and sindoor and little vines on her eyes and little leaves like this, and sometimes on her cheeks, on Radharani's, the golden lotus petal of Radharani's cheeks, Krishna would paint these little makari. There's Makara Kundala. Krishna has these earrings. He says, shark-shaped earrings. They're not really sharks. They're more like dolphins, like a dolphin, porpoise. So Radharani, Krishna has his earrings. This is my Makara Kundala. He has these earrings, and Radharani, then Krishna paints on her cheeks, he paints makari, beautiful female makara, which are makari. Very carefully does. And then Radharani, the gopis, they joke with Radharani, are those makari fish? Has Krishna put them on your cheeks in order to catch the makara earrings that he's wearing? Like this. It's like some relation. So another example of how Krishna was a very meticulous dresser. When he was preparing to kill demons like Aristasura, he would take care to arrange his belt very nicely. So Krishna, when he was going to jump off the Kadamba tree to vanquish Kali, a demon, in Yamuna, then he adjusted his turban. He adjusted his turban on his head. Oh, okay, I look nice, you know. Or his top knot, whatever. And then he made, okay, I'm ready to fight now. This is one of Krishna's very special qualities. So he displays his quality here at Radhakund. Of course, we may not be so much following in his footsteps, but meticulous dresser. But that's our Lord. So there's a very nice description of the beauty of Radhakund, which we hope to see someday. Because our material eyes are limited. But if we have the eyes of prema, then we can see the higher dimension of reality. Just like if you have a microscope, you can see very fine, small particles in a microscope. Or if you have a telescope, you can extend your vision to the stars and heavens and see so many things out there that you couldn't see with the ordinary eye. So when we come here with the ordinary material eye, when we see Radhakund, we don't see really Radhakund. But the acharyas who have extraordinary vision, vilochan, prem vilochan, they say it's like this. The Radhakund is a prakrit aprakat dham. It's unmanifested abode of the Lord. Now just, I say here, please close your eyes and try to imagine that surrounding Radhakund and Shyamakund are wish-fulfilling trees, mango trees, bakul trees, kadamba, champak. They're beautiful swings underneath the trees, which are inlaid with jewels, and there are so many fragrant flowers, and there's all tasty fruits in the trees. And around the base of these trees, there are platforms. The tree is there, there's like a platform, a mandap, a raised platform. And these are very special platforms, because in the winter, they're naturally warm to sit on. You don't need a dhari, you don't need a blanket or some. You sit on the ground, you sit on these mandaps, and they're naturally warm. And in summer, when it's very hot, then you sit on them and it feels like cool marble. It's very, very cooling. So this is all for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, all this variety. So this then perched in a tree branches are cooing cuckoos, and peacocks are wandering about here and there, sometimes dancing and saying, "Kay-caw, kay-caw." Red, blue, and yellow lotus flowers beautify the gentle waves in Radhakund, while honeybees hum and hover about the flowers. Royal swans, rajahamsas, and cranes sport in the water while sweetly chortling. Parrots and minor birds perch in the trees, reciting one love poem after another, which pleases the minds of Radha and Krishna as they relax on a flower bed in the groves. Spotted black deer roam about in the nearby bowers around Radhakund, and all the six seasons join here at Radhakund to serve. So that's the real Radhakund, the spiritual Radhakund, a very beautiful natural setting. Like I said, as you wander in the forest, if you wander somewhere in the forest, you come upon a very beautiful lake, a very beautiful natural spot, if you've ever seen. And it's very tranquil and quiet and peaceful. And there may be all these cranes and swans and auspicious trees and birds everywhere around that lake. And if you've ever seen that, you have some idea of what Radhakund is actually like. The big, big dharmashalas and buildings, they don't exist in the real Radhakund, fortunately. So when Radha and Krishna are here, and of course they are here, but when they're having their Prakat Leela manifest pastimes here, then the parrots in the trees, they often engage in a conversation. It's called Shuk Shari Samvad. Samvad means conversation. So the parrots and the female parrots and the male parrots, they have a debate, the boys and girls. So the male parrots, they're always supporting Krishna's side. They have names like Daksha, Daksha, Vichakshana, and Radharani has her female parrots, and they're supporting her side. And their names are like Manjubhashini. So they have some nice conversations. So we have an excerpt here from one book. It talks about this pastime. It happens around the middle of the day, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Radha and Krishna enjoy relaxing in a flower bed in a Kali Kunja, and they're surrounded by Lalita Vishaka. Then there becomes these two parrots in the trees, they start quarreling about Radha and Krishna. The male parrot says, "My Krishna, he is Madan Mohan. He is Cupid personified." So now, the female parrot, she hears that male parrot declare the glories of Madan Mohan, and she says, "That may be true that your Krishna is the personification of Cupid, or the attractor of Cupid, Madan Mohan. However, that's only if my Radhika is standing beside him. Then, otherwise, Krishna is totally and completely captivated by Cupid and totally controlled by Cupid. So you're saying your Krishna is Madan Mohan, but I'm saying my Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. The original Mohini. There's another Mohini in the 8th canto. But the Sarva Avatari and Sarva Shakti Mayi, the source of all the avatars and all the forms of Bhagavan, is Sri Krishna. And the force of all the source, there they are. That's the conversation. So the source of all the deities and female shaktis and personalities, whether they be Lakshmis or wives of the demigods like Shachi and Saraswati and all these Savitri, etc. The origin of all of these female personalities is Srimati Radharani. So the origin of Mohini Devi, who's a Shakti expansion of Vishnu in the 8th canto, or Krishna, she is the origin of Mohini is Radharani. So she's Madan Mohan Mohini. She's triple M, MMM. So this way the female parrot upturns the argument of the male parrot. But not to be defeated so easily. The male parrot boasting about his master, the Shuk, like Shukadev, the Shuk, the male parrot said, all right, listen. My Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill with his pinky finger, or his left hand. So therefore he is famous everywhere as Giridhari. So, there. So then the female parrot says, Hare. He, your Giridhari, can only do that. He only was able to lift Govardhan Hill because my Radharani transmitted her power and her Shakti to Krishna. Right? If you plug the fan into the wall, then the fan spins around. Because the fan is connected to the power source. So the supreme powerhouse is Radharani. Krishna has a connection. He has an electric connection with the powerhouse. But he is not the powerhouse. So he was standing there, holding the Govardhan Hill on his pinky finger of his left hand. But as long as Radharani was looking at him, he was connected to the powerhouse. She was looking, and he was connected. Because we have connection by wire, but now we have connection by microwaves, called cell phone. Yes? Old-fashioned phones, there used to be a wire. And go to the wall, and it goes to the pole and it goes to the place. But now there's just big towers and the waves are going here and there and microwaves. So Radharani is sending her microwaves from her eyes. Powerhouse. Shakti. Shakti Drishti. The glance of power. And then Krishna is looking and getting all the power to lift the hill. But sometimes Radharani, she would want to teach Krishna who's the powerhouse. So she would look away nonchalantly, go like this, like ladies often do, they go like this. Pretend they don't care. So she's looking at Krishna and she goes, and moves some hair off her forehead like, I don't need you, I don't. And then when Krishna was looking at Radharani and then he did that, she went, ha, ha, ha. And that's when the hill started trembling, all the coward boys split up there and says, Gopal, Govinda, Gopal. Don't drop the hill on our heads. So now, the male parrot says, listen, Sarab Shari. The male parrot said, my Krishna's Jagadish. He's Jagatpati, he's Jagannath. He is a life. He's Jagat Jivan. He's a life of the whole universe. If Krishna withdraws his life-giving power, the universe is finished. He is the prana. He's the prana, the Jagat, Jagat Pran, the life force of the universe. If he simply withdraws it, like what happened to Dhruva? You ever hear of Dhruva Maharaj? Dhruva Maharaj is in the 4th canto. What happened? He was doing his tapabalam, his tapasya, austerities in Madhuvan forest. Of course, we know that he got that power because Radharani gave it to him. Because it's Vrindavan. So he was in Madhuvan, over near Mahavan,
And he was doing his austerities. And part of his austerities was that he did some anulom vilom, pranayama. So he inhaled, and when he inhaled, all the prana and all the air and the whole universe went inside Dhruva's belly. Just imagine if someone, if you're in a room somewhere and someone sucks out all the oxygen, puts some kind of pipe and you'll die. No oxygen. So the Shiva, Brahm, Indra, Agni, they all complained to Brahma and Vishnu. They say, hey, Hare, this little boy is swallowed up all the air in the universe. We can't breathe. We can't live. So this is Dhruva had such power. What to speak of Krishna? He's Jagat Jivan. He's a Jagat Pran. He's the life force in the entire universe. So that's why the Shuka, the male parrot, says, my Krishna, he is the life. He is the life of the whole universe. And of course, that has a macrocosmic definition, a macrocosmic application, and a microcosmic application. It can be applied on the broader sense, universal sense, that Krishna is the life of the universe. No Krishna, no life. But on a smaller, localized sense, Krishna is the life of my life. Jivana Jivani. Radha Krishna Pranamor, Jugala Kishore. What do we say? Jivane Marane Gati Aro Nahi More. Jivane Marane Gati Aro Nahi More. Radha Krishna Pranamor, Jugala Kishore. Jivane Marane Gati Aro Nahi More. He's saying, Narottam Das is saying, that Radha and Krishna are my life, Jivani, Jivatma. In life, Jiva or Marana, Jivani Marani. In life or death, I have nothing else. So on a localized, personal, individual level, then Krishna becomes the very life force of his devotee. He's the Prananath. He's the Lord of our Pranana, our Prana. What do we say? Mat prananatas tu se eva naparaha. Yes? Ashlishyava paratam panashtamam adarshanam mamatam korotuva yata tata va vidadatu lampato. Mat prananatas tu se eva naparaha. Naparaha. I don't have any other prananath but Krishna. So Krishna is the life of my universe. Krishna, my individual, my little universe, my little reality of my life, he's also the Lord of my life. So this is what the Shuka is telling. And what does the female say? The male parrot says, my Krishna is Jagat Jivan. He is the life of the entire universe. Huh? Are? Kya bolte? What are you saying? Ki bolche? Do you know about my Radharani? My Radharani is the light, she is the whole universe for the life of Krishna. Very interesting. Because the male parrot was saying, Krishna is the life of the whole universe. And then the female parrot says, but my Radha is the whole universe of the life for Krishna. In other words, Krishna has no existence, nothing has any meaning or any purpose unless he's with Radharani. So Krishna is a universe without Radharani is no universe. A life without Radharani is no life. That's what the female parrot is saying. Then the male parrot says, the peacock feather on my Lord Krishna's turban tilts to the left. Goes like this. As if the male parrot is trying to say, my Krishna is not controlled by your Radharani. Because if
if my Krishna was controlled by your Radharani, so then the male coward, he's glorifying his Krishna. Say, my Krishna, Shamasundar, his peacock feather tilts to the left, like this, right? This is left. So then the female power says, you're exposing yourself. Why is he doing that? He's doing that for two reasons. One reason, he understands that I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Radharani. Dasi, 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 anodasi. Kopi bartu padakavalyor, dasi, dasi, anodasi. So Krishna's peacock feather is tilting to the left so that he can shield Radharani from the sunshine when they're walking. And then the female parrot says, not only that, but it's tilting to the left because it wants to fall off Krishna's head and go down and offer obeisances at Radharani's feet. Because if it's tilting like this, there's a chance that Krishna may start trembling in bhava or ecstasy, or some strong wind, and it goes on Radharani's feet. Because if it's over here, Krishna's on the right side, if the peacock feather's here, and it goes poof, it goes over there somewhere. So then, again, the male parrot was defeated. Now, but listen! My Krishna is Vrindavan Eshwara. He is the Lord of Vrindavan, the controller of all Vrindavan. With his flute, with Krishna's vamshi, his veno and murali, he makes everything move, sing, dance. Everything is controlled by vamshidari, bansuri. If he stops playing his flute, then nothing moves. No one is happy. The fruits, the trees don't produce fruits. The river Yamuna doesn't flow to the sea. The rains don't come. People don't smile. No one moves. No one does anything. So he's Vrindavaneshwara. He's the Lord of Vrindavan. Then the shari, the female parrot says, what do you know? You have a bird brain. You have a bird brain. Your brain is like a bird. It's a very pea-sized brain. What are you saying? Krishna Vrindavaneshwara, Lord of Vrindavan. Are you cracked? Don't you know that king of so-called king of Vrindavan, he regularly places his head on the feet of my Radharani. Not only does he put his head on Radharani's feet, but he begs her with folded hands, like a poor man begging a rich man, Dhanam Dehi, please give me some rubles. Please give me some money, paisa. He begs, he kneels at Radharani's feet. He bathes Radharani's feet with tears from his eyes, his submissive, surrendered eyes. Submissive, surrendered eyes, he bathes Radharani's feet. And he's trembling. Dehi parapalavam udharam. Smara garala kandanam. Mama Shirasi Mandanam. He said, Radharani, please, I beg you, please give me your feet. Please put your feet on my head. Dehi Pada. Palavam. Your bud-like, lotus bud-like feet. Please decorate my head. This is your so-called king, Vrindavaneshwara. That he puts his head on the feet of my Radharani, Vrishabhanu Nandini. Therefore, Vrishabhanu Nandini is described everywhere as Vrindavaneshwari Radharani ki. Vrindavaneshwari Radharani ki. Then the male parrot says, okay, alright. Wait. Wait a minute. There's no need for us to needlessly quarrel. Let's cooperate and glorify the eternally youthful divine couple, Radha Govinda. Radhe Radhe Govinda. Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda,
Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda 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 Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe Vrindavan Bihari Lal ki jai, Radha Rani ki jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam, Jai Shri Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. We see Radha Kund is very straight, like a nice square, straight sides, straight, clean, attractive. But we see Shyamakund, it goes in a meandering, curving way. Doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason or any symmetry or any proper balance. This side goes like this, this side goes like this. So why is that? Radhakund is straight, but Shyamakund is not straight. And generally, whenever they make bathing kunds for mandirs, behind a mandir or some kund, it's always straight sides. That's the standard of building. So why is it crooked? On midnight in Kartik, on Bahulastami, it was the appearance of Radhakund and Shyamakund. Krishna, at that time, he proclaimed, I will bathe in your kund, Radharani. And in the future, your kund will become much more famous than mine. That's a well-known fact. Everyone said, where are you going today? I'm going to Radhakund. Where are you staying? I'm staying at Radhakund. What does the sign say on the map? Radhakund, 6 kilometers. 10 kilometers. Nowhere of Shyamakund. Shyamakund is there. But Krishna gave the blessings. Now this, why Krishna gave these blessings, which is being upheld even today, why he gave the blessings that Radharani's kund will be more famous than his? Because he's Yashomati Nandan. He's Yashoda Nandan. He's Yasho. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashriya. That Krishna is Sada Aishwarya Purna. He has 6 opulences and one of them is fame. Yasho. Yashomati Nandana Vrajavaranagara. So he's saying, no, I want to give the fame here at Radhakund, at this place, from the very appearance on Bahalasmi, Kartik, 5,000 years ago. I want to give the fame to you, my beloved, my Pranavallabhi. Pranavallabha and Pranavallabhi. Therefore, Krishna's words of saying that Radharani's kund would be more famous than his, they reflect the inner feelings and bhav of Krishna. Although Krishna is Sarva Avatari, the original origin of everything, and Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the Murti, the embodiment of all nectarian mellows. He is Sarva Shaktiman. He is Sarva Shaktiman, like Bhagavan. He is the source of all potencies. Yet, Krishna is subservient to the prema of Mahabhav Sarupini Sri Radhika. Mahabhav Sarupini Radha ki? The topmost of all Krishna's beloveds is Srimati Radhika. Krishna always broadcasts the glories of Radharani, considering her to be superior to himself. So see the beautiful darshan of God's heart, that this small pastime or a small exchange is revealing. What is the nature of God? What is the heart of God? The heart of God, the bhav, Krishna bhav, Krishna bhavanamrita, the nectarian heart of the Lord. We see that the Lord, he takes great relish and he enjoys putting his devotees and his beloved servants on a much higher platform than himself. He wants to see that his devotees are in a superior position to him. He doesn't want to put anyone down. He doesn't want to lord over anyone, although he is Ishvara. He's Parameshvara, Krishna. But he doesn't want to lord over anyone or be the master or controller. That's just me. So he's here, he's going, oh, Radharani. I mean, this whole kund, the whole Radhakund and Shyamakund, the whole thing was first manifested by Krishna. Krishna put his foot in one of Rishasura's footprints and then expanded this whole Shyamakund and called the sacred rivers. So it's basically Shyamakund. Then there was some joking dialogue, and then Radhakund was manifested. But he said, no, my kund will not be famous, yours will be superior to mine. So we can learn a lesson from this about the heart of God. Because we want to enter the heart of God, we want to capture the heart of God, and we want to serve the heart of God, and we want to attain the divine qualities of our worshipful Lord, Krishna. So one of the teaching here is that always push the devotees forward. Always push the devotees up and glorify them. Put them in a superior position. We saw that practically in our lives in a very graphic way in the life and personality of Sriman Jayananda Prabhu.
We had the fortune to serve with him back 35 years ago or so. And what we saw in his dealings with other devotees, God brothers, he was always saying, "Oh, you're so expert in this." And he was always saying, "Oh, Prabhu, can you help me with this? Do you know painting?" And then they would paint some little swans on the side of the Rath Yatra cart with a cutout stencil. It's like a piece of cardboard with a swan cut out, and you paint like, "Oh, you're so expert at this. You're a very good painter. Where did you learn painting? I don't know anything like this, you know." So every kind of exchange or doing anything with him, he was always saying, "Oh, you're very expert in this. I can learn from you, and how you become such a great devotee." But he was actually saying it in a very genuine way, and he really felt that this person was, he had that bhav of Trinadapi Sunichena. But this is just a nice point about the formation of Radhakund that this point has brought out. So why is it straight and why is it crooked? Because Krishna's crooked. Sri Mangalalitam Niyata Prakasham. Krishna stands in a crooked way. He has crooked dealings with his friends. He tells the coward boys, "Oh, stay here in Gwalpakur. I'm going to wander around here, look for some stray cows and calves. You relax under this tree." He's lying. He's cheating his boyfriends. And completely cheating. He knows, and Maramangal know, and Subal know, that Krishna is going to walk directly to Radhakund and meet with Radharani. He's telling the boys, "Oh, we're looking for some cows. You just relax, we'll be right back." So he's lying. And then he's stealing clothes, he's stealing butter. A very crooked person. Usually crooked people, people that are crooked and thieves, that are black. And so Krishna, that's what they say, this Krishna is Shyamasundara, he must be chore number one. He's chore number one, he's the number one thief, number one robber. And even our Madhvacharya knows it. What was it? Vallabhacharya, I think so. He wrote a whole prayer to glorify Krishna as a thief. So Krishna's kund is crooked because it's the shape of his footprint. When Krishna put his footprint in there, then Brajadam said, "Oh, it's so fortunate I am to have Krishna's footprint. Let me enshrine this footprint." So Krishna's footprint is so beautifully outlined in Shyamakund. It's Krishna's footprint. Because this kund has been like this since then. It represents, and Radharani is so straight. If you come here and you see Kankan Kund, when they're digging out, when they cleaned Radhakund, maybe last year or so, the original kund that was dug by Radharani's bangles, it's called Kangan, K-A-N-G-A-N, Kangan, Kangan, the bangles, it's still completely like square, straight. Although it's rounded, it's natural dirt. But Krishna, when he took all the water out of Shyamakund, you see Bajranav Kund, which is over near Lord Chaitanya's where we are. It's the original kund is close over here, and then they made it bigger. So it's also a crooked shape. So this is represents, if you come here, Shyamakund represents for all eternity that Lord Krishna is very crooked. But so what do we have to do? We have to worship Radharani. Prabhupada says if you want to get the service of Krishna, you have to go through Radharani. "Oh, Radharani, I picked this flower. I'm putting it in your hand. You please offer this flower to Krishna. Please offer this flower to your Krishna." So we give to the Guru, he gives to the Guru, gives to Lita, gives to Rupa Mantri, gives to Radharani, gives to Krishna. So we approach Radharani, then we learn how to live in a very straight and proper and clean and pure way. Like Radhakund, very straight, proper, clean, neat way. But then once we become purified and develop our ruchi for Krishna and taste for Krishna, then we can worship that crooked Lord. So Radharani comes as Guru. Guru is representative of Radharani. So we worship the Guru with all proper yamas and niyamas, rules and regulations, and all regulated service,
and gradually he blesses us so we can have, we can actually worship Krishna. And then when Krishna blesses us, if that's our mood, then he gives us the ability or the inspiration to worship Radharani, which he is doing himself. Because no one can worship Lord Gauranga without his associates. And no one can worship Radharani without the sanction and suggestion of Krishna. So in the same way, no one, like we see Nityananda wanted to worship Gauranga. He wanted to worship Lord Chaitanya. But he couldn't. He had to get the mercy of Nityananda. So we want to worship Radharani, so then Krishna will have to favor us. This is the idea. Of course, 500 years ago, they were thinking of expanding, changing the shape of Shyamakund. They're going to change the shape of Shyamakund and make it more rectangular. So they were, when they were thought about doing that, Yogamaya was thinking, wait a minute, this is not a good idea. This is Krishna's footprint. It's like it says that Giriraj, Govardhan Parvat, is a beautiful Sham, beautiful Kasturi Tilak, marking the face of Vrindavan. Like we have our face and we mark it with Tilak, and it's slightly raised. So this Govardhan Hill going down from Varsana down here like this is like a beautiful, it's very dark stones, it's like musk or Kasturi. It's a beautiful tilak mark on the face of Vrindadevi, face of Vrindavan. So similarly, Shyamakund is a beautiful impression of Krishna's lotus feet. It's Krishna's lotus foot. So Yogamaya didn't want that to be removed or lost. So then the Pandavas appeared in the dream of Raghunath Das. And then they said, listen, you know, we're doing bhajan here at Manasapavan Ghat. So please don't cut us down to make it rectangle. So that's like an external reason. One reason you could say to preserve their bhajan spot. So this is a great site of Julan Leela in Radhakund. So we want to read about Julan Leela and think that someday, when we hear about Leelas, we should think that yes, this is a very beautiful and purifying Leela. But moreover, we should think, well, how would I serve there? If I was to drop into this Leela today, what service would I render there? Would I simply pull up a chair? If I was to go into Julan, Julan Leela means swing Leela. Would I just pull up a chair, get one of those plastic chairs, sit on a chair? Radha and Krishna swinging like this, right? No, there's no spectators there. Everyone's an active participant. Everyone is serving according to their capacity. This is a Naimittik Leela. It happens every year. 13 days from Shravan Shukla Tritiya. In Vrindavan, even today, during Shravan Mas, which is around August, for 13 days, every day there's Julan. It's very windy time, it's cloudy, it's windy, it's rainy season. In the evening time, Radha and Krishna, they go on a swing. So Nitya Leela, and all the time when Radha and Krishna come to Radhakund, they're wandering through the six seasonal forest. Radhakund is special that there's winter forest, summer forest, there's different flowers, different plants, different birds, everything. There's different forests around Radhakund. And then there's one forest which manifests all six seasons at once. And according to Radha Krishna's will, sometimes they can be in any forest, a winter forest with kunda flowers and roses and other flowers that blossom in the winter. Then that forest can become spring forest. And all the nice flowers of spring. So there, all the Sakis are present, and they're seeing Radha and Krishna approaching the forest. And when the peacocks see them, they think that Krishna is a lightning. You see, he looks like a monsoon cloud. And Radharani appears like a lightning bolt when they're together. So when the peacocks get excited, they say, oh, the clouds, the rain clouds, make ho, come, make means cloud, rain clouds, come. And they start spreading their feathers and dancing around. And as the Kadamba trees and Arjun trees are blossoming and filling the forest with a heavy scent, and there's the cuckoos, who usually only sing in the springtime, they start singing sweetly, intent on imitating the honey-sweet voice of Radha. So that's a little difficult to do. But the cuckoos, they try to sing. Usually you'll see in this season, cuckoos will sing. I have many in Mayapur, in Navadvip. Here there's less now. So this is, even though it's monsoon season, the cuckoos are singing. So Krishna, he's wearing a kadamba, a whole mala of kadamba flowers, which sometimes you see in Krishna Balaram Mandir, monsoon season. Krishna's wearing a big mala of kadamba. You ever seen? Very beautiful. You know, kadamba flowers are big yellow flowers like this, very fragrant. And it's reaching all the way to his lotus feet. And it's swinging back and forth as he walks. You're supposed to see this when you hear it. Malika flowers are tied in Radharani's hair braid. And all the sakis are wearing crowns and bracelets and anklets and waist belts, all made of a variety of rainy season flowers, like Juhi, Rangana, Arjun. The flower crowns that the gopis are wearing are made of banyan leaves, then all kinds of flowers are woven into the banyan leaves, especially Ketaki flowers. So it's a very beautiful scene, like sometimes we have seen in our youth, that we go to the fields and we play, and someone picks up some flowers, and then they make a little crown out of dandelion, you know, yellow flowers, or the children, they often pick up flowers and they decorate themselves with flowers. And the innocence and free flow of youth. When we become older, we become very staid and regimented and material, and we're not very much free flowing. But Radha and Krishna are eternally youthful. They're always like children. They're very playful and joyful. Lila means play. They're always playing. So that they pick the flowers. Oh, look at this. This flower will look nice. And they put flowers over the ear. Sometimes Krishna wears a flower over this ear, and sometimes that ear, sometimes both ears. It's their sport. It's their fun. It smells very nice. It looks very attractive. And it displays to the world, it exhibits to the world the playful, joyful nature and ever-fresh nature of their hearts. The hearts of Radha and Krishna. They're very joyful. Moment to moment joy. So this is what's going on here also in this Leela. So they enter a very thick Kadamba forest. There's millions of fragrant yellow flowers. And there's a beautiful platform at the base of the tree. And there's two kadamba trees like this, and there's a swing below them, and there's a platform. They step on the platform, and then they get on the swing. And they start swinging. And the sakis and mantris are pushing them back and forth. And there's some mantris and sakis are sitting down playing instruments, pakawaj and mridanga, and sarangi, esaraj, and flutes and triangles and cymbals. Very beautiful sound and different Vasant ragas, springtime ragas they're singing. Very, very beautiful. And they're clapping their hands and they're pushing. Some mantris are pushing the swing from behind, like this. And other sakis, when they go like this, they push them from the front. The sakis are pushing from behind, and then when they go like this, and someone pushes them from the front. And some sakis are fanning the divine couple with chamara whisks. And some of those sakis and mandris, they collect flower pollen. They go for hours and hours to prepare for this leela. And they collect flower pollen, bags of it. That's a lot. The little yellow dust inside of flowers called the pollen, flower pollen. And as the divine couple are swinging, they throw it
It lands in Radharani's hair, little sprinkles of yellow and golden and orange and saffron in Krishna's hair. Very beautiful, very fragrant. So this is going on at Radhakund. Anyway, it goes on, it's the wrong description. It's too much details, the whole idea is that there's a beautiful world, the very, very beautiful and variegated world called the spiritual world. And it's full of mirth and merriment, it's full of happiness and joy, it's full of activity, dancing, singing, playing. It's drama. That's our destination. We want to go to that place. But somehow, you know, our minds and hearts are not preventing us to enter there so freely. So this is one pastime about kalpavriksha trees. And let's see what's in store with these kalpavriksha trees. I don't see too many in this room right now. Not too many. Vrindavan is full of wish-fulfilling trees. Even the cows in Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling cows, kamadhenus. Wish-fulfilling trees. I wish I could find a wish-fulfilling tree right now. Right? If we could find a wish-fulfilling tree, what would we wish? Vivishwam, what would you wish? What would your wish of wishes be? Like sometimes in these different psychology classes, they ask people, they say, if you had the power to make this a better world, if you had the power to make this a better world, what would you do to make this a better world? So then people give answers like, I would remove all poverty from the world. Someone else says, I would make sure everyone has food, plenty of food to eat. So if someone asks you as a devotee, if you could change the world, then what would you do? What would you implement? What would you enact to change the world? Huh? You would engage everyone on the earth planet in performing Nam Sankirtan. That's a good idea. I agree. I can't argue with that. What else would someone like to do? Of course, that would do everything. Yes? He wants to see the whole world stuffed with prasadam. The whole world should be stuffed to the neck, akanta puriya, with Krishna prasadam. Someone else? Amrish? If you could change the world, what would you do? What did he say?
Bring everyone to Vrindavan.
If I could change the world, I would turn back the clock and bring Lord Chaitanya back to this world. I would like to see a world with Lord Chaitanya chanting and moving in the world, because if he's here, then everything will be successful. But he didn't stay very long. That's our misfortune. Oh, we're carrying on. Okay, so let's go back now to this other world here. Wish-fulfilling trees. You can ask for clothing or jewels or food, and these kamadhenu cows of Vrindavan can immediately give it to you. But they don't give it. They only give milk. If they gave all these opulent objects, then the Braja Gopis and Gopas would not be happy, because they would lose their natural, simple lifestyle. An example. One day, Radharani and all the Sakis were bathing at Radhakund at Manasapavan Ghat, which is where Raghunath Das Goswami's Bhajan Kutir is, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Krishna's Kaviraj. She was bathing there. And she forgot to bring her change of cloth. After Radharani came out of bathing in Shamakund, her clothes were all wet because she bathed in her clothes like people do these days. And Radharani was feeling very uncomfortable in her wet clothes. Brindadevi brought some fruits from the trees. These are really big. Have you ever seen jackfruits? You know jackfruit in Mayapur? Big yellow fruit, it's about this big. Big. Jackfruit. You've seen watermelon? Tarbuj, watermelon, the red wala. It's red inside, a little bunch of seeds, watermelon. You have? Yeah. That's big. That's a big fruit, no? Watermelon. So she brought some big fruits like that. And when the Sakis opened the fruits, they found dupattas, dresses, and each of their names was written on the piece of cloth. So when Brindadevi bought these big watermelons, when they opened the watermelons, they found fresh clothes. And they said, and it had names, this Lalita and Shaka. So they're taking like some magician. Magician has a hat. He has a hat, right? And then it goes like this. Right? You know? Hocus pocus. How are you all? He goes, and then he goes, ha! And he shows a rabbit in the hat, right? He shows, oh, see the rabbit, like this, see a rabbit. Yeah. Rabbit Khan, where's the rabbit? Rabbit Kargosh. Kargosh Khan. Rabbit's gone, he's gone. Magic, I disappeared, because I went like this. He's back here. So, when they took out the watermelons, were like magic. And they were taking out fresh clothes. Very interesting. So then they all got dressed in fresh clothing and said, oh, Brindadevi has brought us such nice fruits. But usually, the Sakis, they're not aware of all this opulence. The Brijvasis don't want any treasures or riches from the wish-fulfilling trees. They're happy with their cows. If the cows, the Kamandeno cows, if they simply get milk, and they can make yogurt and butter, that's enough. And the all these trees are wish-fulfilling trees. And they don't go, oh, give me this, give me that. They simply take the flowers from the trees and they make garlands and give the garlands to Krishna. And this Chintamani Bhumi, this land that the gopis are walking on and all of us are walking on, this Brajaraj, is also wish-fulfilling. But when they're walking, they're simply saying, oh, Brajadam, oh, Vrindavan, please bring us to Shamasundar. Our only desire is to meet Shamasundar and to serve him. So this is their whole approach to it. Whereas we're so materialistic and so greedy that if someone said, hey, you see, this tree, even we find people, they hear that there's some tantric, some yogi, tantric, has some power. So if you go there, he can help your problem, he can solve your problem, he can give you some power. So people run there. They run there and pay money and they try to get some solution to their problem by taking advantage of tantric power, some yogi, some mystic person. But the devotees like the gopis, they don't run to the kalpavriksha trees, oh, give me new bangles, give me a new this, that. They say, just give me Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So devotees are the same way. We're like the gopis. We're like the Brijvasis. We don't want any opulence. Nadanana janana sundaram. Nadanana janana sundaram. Lord Chaitanya is telling, nadanana janana, we don't have wants. We have needs. There's want and need. Want means I want this, I want that, or I want to be this, I want to be that. But needs are necessities. What do I actually need? What does the soul need? The soul needs love of God. Krishna Priti. Radha Priti. The love of Radha and the love of Krishna. This is all the soul needs. So whenever a devotee, he goes to a couple of Riksha Tree, or he goes to the Brajadam, or he goes to a Kamadeno, or he goes to a great devotee, or anyway, he says, please bless me with the Prem Seva of Radha Govinda Yugo. Please bless me with the Prem Seva, the loving service of Radha and Krishna, the divine couple. He said, oh, don't you want some money? Don't you want some fortune, wealth, position, power? No, no. I don't want anything. Or Kuchne. Only I want this. So this is the Gopi Bhav. We talk about Gopi Bhav. The mood of the gopis, the attitude, the outlook of the gopis is like this. That we don't want to take anything from Vrindavan. We want to give. If Vrindavan, if these trees have so much power, well, great. Then engage me in Krishna's service. If these cows have so much power, then great. Engage me in Krishna's service. If this land and this dust of Vrindavan has so much power, wonderful. Let this land engage me in the service of Krishna. That's all the devotee ever prays for. So this is a nice point to reflect on, that although they have so many, they're surrounded by all these things, and someone might say, it might come from another planet or come from somewhere, and say, hey gopis, why don't you ask? You can ask for so much from these trees. No, no, we don't want. We're happy with the flowers. That's the devotee's nature. Devotee is saralata, saralata. He's very simple. He's satisfied with the simplest of things. He doesn't require lots of complicated objects and lots of possessions, and he's satisfied. If I have a little prasadam and a little service to Guru and Krishna, what more? And that makes that service, that prasadam, that service makes the mind peaceful. It satisfies the heart. It pacifies the mind, and also gives us joy. And ultimately, the bottom line, as they say, the ultimate attainment that everyone is looking for is joy. Joy, peace, happiness, fulfillment. Joy, peace, happiness, and fulfillment. And that's all attained by serving someone who's very beautiful. It's all attained by serving someone who's very charming. And it's all attained by serving someone who's very sweet. And the most beautiful person, and the most charming person, and the sweetest person that we've ever met, or at least we're trying to meet, is Krishna and Gauranga and Radha. Sweeter than the sweet. Sweetest of the sweet. This is Radharani. Madhurya. What does Madhurya mean? Madhurya means honey. In Russia you have lots of nice honey. So this is Madhurya. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Krishna's name is sweet. Lila Madhura, Yamuna Madhura, Venu Madhura, his Hasitam, Hasitam Madhuram, his smiling, his laughing is sweet. So we are not worshippers. Are we worshippers of God? No. Vishnu Bhaktas are worshippers of God. Ram Bhaktas are worshippers of God. Nisringa Bhaktas are worshippers of God. We are worshippers of the sweetness inside of God. Think about it. Do you worship the form of a person, or do you worship their love? Is it the form of the person that satisfies you, or is it the love that emanates from that form? Is it the form of a beautiful woman that makes her beautiful, or the beauty of her heart and mind and dealings? The external form is just a momentary flash, and it's gone. So what we're actually worshipping when we're worshipping Radha and Krishna is the sweetness. And that sweetness within Krishna is none other than Radharani. She's personification of Krishna's heart. She's personification, that's why she's Madhurya Mahi Radha. Madhurya Mahi Radha. Madhurya Sri Krishna. Madhurya Purushottam. Madhurya Purushottam, Sri Krishna. And Madhurya Mahi Radha. So one jar of honey, like in Russia there's two kinds of honeys, right? One is basically golden yellow in color, and another one is dark reddish brown, blackish. So there's a sham honey and there's a gauri honey. There's a yellow honey and there's a dark colored honey. So this is Krishna. The sweetness of Krishna is a dark honey, and the sweetness of Radha is the yellow honey, golden honey. So that's what we're worshipping, the honey. We want to taste the sweetness, the honey. So we chant the holy name. We want to celebrate the sound vibration. We want to celebrate the sweetness. Chanting the holy name means to celebrate the sweetness of Radha and Krishna. This is the chanting. We're rasika. Rasik. Rasika means one who, he's a taster. So worshippers of Radha and Krishna are meant to be rasikas. Rasik. Rasik Vaishnavas. So we're worshipping the sweetness. So this is Radhakund. Radhakund is the... And sweetness usually moves. Sweetness, if there's no... Just think about it. If you have sugar, dry sugar, can you relish sweetness? But if you mix that sugar with a little water, then you can relish. Because if your tongue is dry, you can't taste anything sweet. So when that sugar is mixed with water, then it takes on its qualities. You can experience the sweetness. So when Radharani takes on a liquid aspect, she appears as Radhakund. And when Krishna takes on a liquid aspect, he appears as Shyamakund. So one tastes the water of Radhakund, or the leelas of Radhakund, or the leelas of Shyamakund, or the water of Shyamakund. Then he's tasting the liquid ras, the sweet ras, the Shyamras of Krishna, and the Radharas of Radharani. Because that's ruchi. If we all have ruchi, how can we go forward? Dry. Dry philosophy, dry classes, dry chanting, dry prasadam. What do they call that wheat they eat in Russia? What's that wheat called? Buckwheat or something? Buckwheat? We call it buckwheat. What do you call it? Bejkar. It's a very healthy thing, but it's really dry. Really dry type thing. So we're just eating a dry bejkar, whatever it is. It's just a little hard. It maybe sustains us. We have some vitality, but with no joy. So these are some of the feelings and the thoughts of what does Radharani think like? And what do the gopis feel like? Their feelings and talks about Krishna, which they often do over here. So these are very nicely revealed in Nectar of Devotion. We can read some of those entries. We really don't know how much nectar is in this book till you go inside. We kind of read it fast when we're young and we think, oh, that's that. Once Radharani was waiting in Radhakund to meet Krishna. She was weaving a garland of kunda flowers. They are small, white flowers that grow in the winter time. They are shaped like teeth. They look a little bit like the front teeth. So sometimes they describe that Krishna, his name is Mukunda, that his face has beautiful smiling, a row of teeth that are like white kunda flowers. Not that they're fragrant like a flower, but the shape and design of his teeth are very white and very beautiful. So he's called Mukunda. He has his teeth like kunda flowers. So she's weaving a garland of kunda flowers. And suddenly Krishna was coming from Kusum Sarovar, so he started playing his murali. Playing his murali flute. And when Krishna plays his murali, the murali is always chanting the name of Radha. Radhika. Radhika, Radhika. And Radharani hears that flute while she's sitting here at Radhakund, weaving this garland, waiting in anticipation for Krishna. She immediately stopped her work of making the garland. This is an example of existential ecstatic love. So she just hearing Krishna's flute, she became so ecstatic that she couldn't even make this garland. So that's one pastime. So now this is a pastime about the gopis feeling guilty. One day, Radharani, beautiful-eyed Srimati Radharani, entered the forest of Radhakund to collect some flowers to prepare a garland for Krishna. While collecting flowers, Radharani became afraid that someone might see her collecting those flowers and might ask her, "Who are you collecting those flowers for? Why are you so far away from your home in Yavat or Barsana?" So Radharani, she was becoming afraid, and that in that fear she became somewhat feeling weak and fatigued. This is an instance of guilty feelings caused by working hard for Krishna. There's a statement in Rasa Sudhakara, after passing a night with Krishna, like I said, in Bahulastami, there's a rasa dance here in Kartik. So Radha and Krishna spend the whole night here in the kunjas of Vrindavan. After spending the whole night with Krishna in the bowers and kunjas of Radhakund, Radharani became so weak, and the next day she couldn't even get up from bed. Then Krishna held her hand, took her hand and helped her. And then Radharani felt guilty for having passed the entire night with Krishna. Of course, these are transcendental emotions. But this feeling, we may feel guilty about not doing our service, or we do something wrong, we feel guilty. When we've done something wrong, you naturally feel guilty. Radharani's not doing anything wrong at any time, because she's living in the kingdom of perfection, and she is the personification of perfect love and perfect devotee. So there's no mistakes in her character, no faults in her behavior, no dosh. But she's just, this is a type of, one of the symptoms of ecstasy is fatigue, and these are all what they call sanchari bhavs. There's 33 symptoms of ecstasy. So these are just some sweet little sights we can see. Now this is, on the next page just here. This is one of the symptoms of love and Krishna consciousness of Radha and Krishna is intoxication. It's called mada. And we as conditioned souls, we have some contaminations that prevent us from remembering Krishna and prevent us from thinking of Krishna. And those are kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, madness, and envy. So matsarya means mada. Mada means intoxication, mada. It's very interesting, M-A-D-A. In English, the word M-A-D means crazy, mad. And M-A-D-A in Sanskrit, and also Hindi, it means intoxicated, crazy, mad. But this is one of the symptoms we have sometimes that we say, oh, he's crazy in love. He's intoxicated with love. Because love is probably the highest form of intoxication. Love is the greatest intoxication. Because if someone loves God, he can forget the whole world. Isn't it? He becomes crazy. He puts tilak on his forehead, chants Hare Krishna, wears a sari. He forgets everything. And people say, oh, you're intoxicated, you've gone crazy, you're brainwashed. You fall in love with Gauranga, Lord Krishna. So even we, in our own mild way, we are mildly intoxicated. We are mildly, partially intoxicated, because everyone sitting here has fallen in love with Gauranga and Radha and Krishna to a greater or lesser extent. And the more we fall in love, the more we become intoxicated by loving sentiments, the more we'll forget the entire world. Everyone will say, he's crazy all the time chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Radhe, 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 Radhe. He's crazy, always chanting God's name, never sleeping, never eating. He's crazy. Acha. Very nice. Very good state. Very desirable state to be absorbed day and night. Nidra, Hara, Vihara, Kali, Vichato, Chityanta, Dino, Chiyo. Conquer over sleeping, eating, everything. Be absorbed in Krishna's seva 24 hours a day. This is perfection. But on this side, sometimes they get intoxicated. When one becomes arrogant with false prestige due to drinking intoxicants, or he becomes too lustful, the voice becomes faulty, the eyes become red and swollen, and the skin becomes flushed with a red color. There's another description of the symptoms of intoxication in the person of Srimati Radharani after she saw Sri Krishna. Sometimes in this world, if someone, a materialistic man, he sees some attractive woman, maybe he gets a little struck by an arrow of attraction or lust, and he acts a little crazy. Because one of the symptoms when someone so-called, quote-unquote, falls in love is that a person loses his appetite. He doesn't want to eat, and he can't fix his mind on his activities very well, and he becomes absent-minded and kind of moving here and there in a funny way. So the parents, if they have a young son, you know, 14, 12, 13, whatever it is, young son, they can understand very quickly that my son has become intoxicated. He's become crazy after some young girl in the school. He said, why aren't you eating? Why are you playing with your food? He just sits at the dinner table, it's like this. Every day, usually you eat so much food. And now you usually go and study, but now you're walking here and there, in the house, out of the house. I think you've fallen in love. No, it's not like that. So this is a type of intoxication. So there's a, when Radharani, when she first saw Krishna, she was walking hither and thither. Sometimes she was laughing. Sometimes she was covering her face. Sometimes she was talking without any meaning. And sometimes she was praying to her sakis. Seeing all these symptoms in Radharani, the gopis began to talk among themselves. Just see how Radharani has become intoxicated simply by seeing Krishna before her. So this happened one time when they met here at Radhakund, that Radharani felt this intoxication. Because this is a symptom of anurag. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. In the nature of pure spiritual love, it's always fresh, ever new and different. So Krishna, when Radharani, she comes, when Krishna comes here to Radhakund to meet Radharani, she says, oh, hey Lalita, hey Vishaka, who is this coward boy? Call him. Who is it? And then Lalita says, it's Damodar, it's Shamsundar, it's Madhav. You don't know? No. Yesterday you were here at Radhakund, you met him, and the Srishti couldn't recognize him because every moment to moment, Krishna looks more beautiful, more attractive, and moment to moment, that beauty is reflecting on Radharani's heart, and is captured in her eyes. And when Radharani reflects Krishna's beauty and captures him in her eyes, then her heart transforms in newer ways. Then she manifests on her person a newer outlook, a newer countenance, and a more beautiful face and form. And Krishna begins, who is this? I know this Sakhi. And Subal says, this is Radhika. What are you saying? So Radharani becomes intoxicated when she sees Krishna, when he comes to Radhakund. And Krishna becomes intoxicated when he sees Radha, when he comes to Radhakund. This is called Prem Vibram, or Prem Vivart. This is the state of ecstatic love. So this is a all these very high and sweet, wonderful experiences happen here at Radhakund. We hear about them and we pray. Now it says here that Radharani has a very special mala. Because when Krishna arrives at Radhakund, Radharani has already made a very beautiful garland. And she exhibits this sanchari bhav of pride called garva. Garva means pride. Expressions of ecstatic love and pride may be the result of excessive wealth, excessive beauty, a first-class residence, a very costly house, or the attainment of one's ideal goal. One is also considered proud when he does not care about the neglect of others. Bilba Mangala Thakur said, "My dear Krishna, you're playing with me. I can't see you. You're catching my hand and running away. You're leaving me and you're running away from me. I can't find you. But you're forcibly getting out of my clutches. I can't hold you. I don't know. I can't see you, Krishna. But I shall be impressed. I will be impressed by your strength if you can forcibly go from the core of my heart." This is in Krishna Karnamrita. He's saying, okay, you're playing with me. He says, "Hey, old man, see, I hold your hand, old man. Can you catch me?" Then he throws his hand and he can't catch him because Bilba Mangala is blind. So in his own loving relationship with the Lord, he becomes proud. He says, "Oh, you think you can run away from my hand, but you can never escape my heart. Because once you capture someone in your heart, they're captured forever. The heart is the soul, and the soul is eternal. So once we capture Krishna in our heart, he is bound forever. Life after life, we will again turn to Krishna. Life after life, we will again serve Krishna. And life after life, we will again glorify Krishna. And eventually, we'll go to Krishna. It's a continuation. So we have to catch Krishna in our heart. Devotee is proud. There's room for a devotee to be proud. Pride is, one should be more tolerant than a tree, lower than a straw in the street, devoid of all. Amanina, amani dena. Amani. We should be free from all false pride. Amani. But devotee is proud of what? He's proud of his guru. He's proud of the merciful, the mercy he's received from his guru. He's proud of Krishna. He's proud of Radharani. For himself he has no pride. So this garva, this pride was exhibited when Radharani, when Krishna came, he was with Subal and Madhumangal. He came to Radhakund. He was wearing a garland of flowers that was made by Subal. Within herself, she felt very proud within herself because she just finished her own flower garland, Vaijayanti Mala. And she said, "Although the coward boys prepare nice garlands for Krishna, when I present my garland to Krishna, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accepts it and puts it on his heart." So this is the reciprocation of the Valabi and the Valab, Krishna and his beloved, that as soon as Radharani offers a garland, Krishna immediately, usually people smell the garland, they put it on their neck, Krishna puts the garland, he embraces the garland, because you can put the garland on like this, and it goes like that, on the sides. But as soon as Radharani presents her garland to Krishna, it goes like this, exactly here. Krishna says, "Yes, your garland is the most special. The coward boys, they make me beautiful garlands. I accept their love and I wear it around my neck for hours. But as soon as you offer me a garland, it goes around my neck, but it goes around my heart. Radharani's garland goes around Krishna's heart and rests on his heart. And when he smells the garland, he doesn't smell the flowers. He smells Radharani's hands. The fragrance of Radharani's hands, which is remaining on the flowers, because she picked up each flower and she wove it. She strung the flower. And each flower has a scent of roses and then the scent of Radharani's body. Musk and sandalwood and lotus, aguru. So very fragrant. So this is a nice example of Radharani becoming proud that when Krishna takes my garland, he immediately puts it to his heart. My garlands are special. So this is pride in relation to not herself so much, but pride in relation to Krishna. So this is one nice exchange that happens here at Radhakund. So these are the gopis' thoughts and their feelings and how they speak about Krishna. Govinda. Okay, this is the story of the snake. It's a very interesting story. This happened not long ago. About 500 years ago, this story happened. When Sanatana Goswami was moving around Radhakund and Govardhan, he would often come here and visit. There's a very nice discussion where people, they say that every day when Sanatana Goswami was living at Manasi Ganga, he was staying in Manasi Ganga and every day he was doing Parikrama of Govardhan. Then Krishna appeared to him one time and gave him a Govardhan Shila and stood on it with his footprint and put his flute and his lagudi, which is his cowherding stick, he rested on there and made an impression. And Krishna told Sanatana Goswami, you don't have to do this large parikrama of Govardhan. You can just walk around this shila four times. And that will be the benefit. You'll get the same benefit of a Govardhan parikrama. So then, but he said, no, this is my regulation. This is my vow to every day go. At any rate, he got that shila. So generally, people think that Sanatana Goswami was going around parikrama as part of his niyam, but some acharyas say that when Sanatana Goswami, he was doing parikrama because he was staying at Manasi Ganga for his bhajan. When he was doing parikrama here, he had his bhajan kutir at Madan Mahan also. Sometimes he would stay there. He would come here specifically to Radhakund to meet with Raghunath Das Goswami, to meet with him. How is he doing? Because Raghunath Das initially came here because he wanted to give up his body in Govardhan. He wanted to bring the Govardhan back he got a Govardhan Shila in Puri. He wanted to return the Govardhan Shila to Govardhan and give up his life. But then Rupa and Sanatana, they met him and they revived him and they encouraged him to do bhajan here at Radhakund. So then Sanatana Goswami would come every day and meet him and inquire, how is your bhajan? What realizations are you having? And then Sanatana Goswami would tell him some pastimes. Because Das Goswami was feeling so much separation from Radharani and especially Gauranga, he could barely exist. So Sanatana Goswami was coming, oh, there's this nice pastime and this pastime. By hearing these leelas, then Raghunath Das was able to maintain his body. So Rupa Goswami, he wrote in a book called Chatu Pushpanjali, he's describing the beautiful form of Radharani. So he said, Radharani, your hair is so black. It's so glossy and shiny and wavy and black. Very, very beautiful. In fact, I can only compare it to the glistening of your hair. Your hair braid is like the glistening black skin of a cobra. So he wrote this, Rupa Goswami, he wrote this, that Radharani's hair, her beini, her braid is like the beautiful, glistening, dark black color of a cobra, snake. And he wrote that. Then Sanatana Goswami, he read that. And he said, oh, Rupa. And Rupa Goswami, although he was senior in terms of tattva and rasa, in one sense, but he regarded Sanatana Goswami as his guru, his elder brother and guru. So Sanatana Goswami said, this is not very good to compare Radharani to a snake, her hair to a snake. Doesn't sound very auspicious or very attractive. Someone says, oh, your hair is like a snake. Someone goes up, oh, your hair is so beautiful, it's like a snake. Huh? What is that? That's your idea of a compliment? It seems rather strange. So now, one day, when Sanatana Goswami was doing his bhajan at Shyamakund side, where the present-day Madanwahan temple is, he saw a tree there at Govinda Ghat. It's a beautiful kadamba tree leaning over the kund, which maybe some devotees have seen. It used to be there. I mean, it was a neem tree, this one, but we saw. That was leaning over the kund. There's some pictures on the internet, I think you can see, from 1930s, 1950s, 1890s. Someone has put some black and white pictures on internet of Radhakund and the Sangam and the banks. Has anyone seen those pictures? And it's amazing how many trees, everywhere trees, and they're hanging over the kund, and where you go in the Sangam, all these trees, you have to go like this. Beautiful. So when Sanatana Goswami was standing there, he saw from that tree at Govinda Ghat, he saw a swing was suspended. And on that swing, a beautiful Braja Gopi was swinging, laughing, giggling. And all her friends were there pushing her. And she was going back and forth. Very beautiful golden Gopi, beautiful girl. And Sanatana Goswami said, oh, this is such a beautiful scene. Some village girls here are swinging on the Sangam of Radhakund. And then he looked, and behind that that girl from the village, he saw that, you know, coming up her back, he saw this like cobra, you know, this black snake coming up like this, coming up with his hood like this over her head. Yeah, she's just lost in her swinging. She doesn't really know what's happening behind her. She's laughing, ha ha, and everyone's pushing. So then he thinks, oh, this is very bad, you know, that this snake, she should know this and jump off that swing or do something to protect her. So then he came down to the Sangam and he's running across to say, oh, Lali, 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 Suno, stop, stop, jump off the swing. There's danger, there's a big sarp, a big snake there. So then when he saw that, then he kind of stumbled. And Sanatana Goswami landed on the Sangam, then he looked up. And there was no swing, there was no gopis, there wasn't anything. There was no girls, no young girls swinging. And he sat there, and took his beads. Like every devotee, when we get bewildered, we chant Hare Krishna, right? You get some confusion, some bewilderment, then you take out the beads and chant Hare Krishna, then you get some idea, some clarity, some vision. So he's chanting, and then he was realizing, Radharani revealed to him, that wasn't a village girl. That wasn't a bunch of village girls from Radhakund, Aritagram. That was me. Sanatana Goswami, that was me, Radhika. I was swinging under the tree. And that was Lalita, Vishakha, and Chitra, and Rangadevi. They were pushing me on a swing. And we were laughing and singing. And what you saw, that was not a cobra, that was my beini, that was my hair. My black, naturally black, beautiful black hair. So then Sanatana Goswami came out of that meditation, that sporty, He realized, oh, what my younger brother Rupa Goswami has written is quite correct. That Radharani, her hair, I saw directly with my own eyes, there's nothing you can compare Radharani's hair to. The shine, the glistening sheen, and shine and glamour of Radharani's hair braid can only be compared, if we have to compare it, to this dark black shining skin of the cobra. So he told Rupa Goswami, it's quite all right what you said. That was inspired by Radharani. She inspired you to say that and write that in your Chatu Pushpanjali offering of flower-like offerings of poetry. So it's quite correct. You don't have to change it. So that nice pastime happened here. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami, he lived here in a great mood of separation from Radha and Krishna. He said that he was always crying on these banks, the banks of Radhakunda saturated with the tears of Raghunath Das Goswami, crying, oh, hey Radhe, Brajadevi Ke Chalalite, hey Radharani, when will you show yourself to me? When will you reveal yourself to me? For so many years, and for so many days, and so many months, I've been chanting your name, I've been serving you, but when, kada, kada, when will you show me some glimmer of your toenails? Apara siddhi riddhi digda sat padangali nake. Just something from a Naka Chandra, some Naka Chandra, some moonbeam from your beautiful, glistening, shining toenails. So this is a place, we come to Radhakund to bathe in the sweet waters of Radhakund, to worship the sweet waters of Radhakund. But we also come to roll in the dust in front of the kutirs of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and Vishnath and Krishnas Kaviraj and Snatan Goswami. And we roll in the dust of those kutirs and we beg these great saints and devotees. We say, my heart is drier than this dust. My heart is drier than this dust of Vrindavan. It's so dry. I don't have a drop of love for Krishna. I don't have a drop of love for the holy name of Krishna. And what to speak of thinking of Radha and Krishna, remembering Radha and Krishna, I can never ever do it, even if I try. So then, we come here to relish the Radharas Sudaniti, to relish the Radharas Sudaniti of hearing about Radha and Krishna's Astik Kaliya Leela here. We can read about it, Govinda Leelamrita, etc. We visit these places of Julan Leela and Ban Bihar and all these beautiful places. But ultimately we come here to cry. And we come here to beg these great devotees, please soften my heart. Make me cry. Give me the ability to cry for Radha and Krishna in separation. Can I feel just a little separation from Radha and Krishna? Because every year we come to Radhakund, every year we go to these places, but we're devotees, or let's say we're trying to be devotees and become followers of Rupa and Raghunath. Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoiba Akuti. We're supposed to be eager. Akuti. We're supposed to be eager to follow the mood, the mellow, and the actions of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. How do they act as sadhakas and as siddhas? How do they think as sadhakas, practitioners, and siddhas? How do they feel as sadhakas and siddhas? What did they do? So this is the Rupa Raghunath we're trying to follow. This is very much the place of Raghunath Das Goswami. Also, Rupa was here. Originally, Rupa Goswami had his bhajan kutir across the street from the Lord Chaitanya's temple, Mahaprabhu temple, Gornitaya, where that since has become hidden under a water tank. There used to be a tamal tree there. at Samal Tree, and that was the place where he did bhajan. So this is a place we come. We're here for a short time and we pray. Let some of those, all this dust, the dust of Radhakund is full of all these prem-filled leelas of Radha and Krishna. But it's also full of the tears of lamentation, the tears of sorrow, the tears of separation of Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So we have to collect those tears. We have to collect the tears of separation. We have to collect the tears of separation from the great devotees and get their mercy so that the Pralamba Ras, that feeling of separation, comes in us. Then when we can cry our own tears of separation, then there's the question of actually meeting Radha and Krishna. Then there's actually a question, then there's actually a possibility of seeing Radha and Krishna or entering into their pastimes and remembering their pastimes. So separation brings meeting. Yes? This is the idea. So no one can argue that we're not separated from Krishna. Very much separated from Radha and Krishna. So this is a place of cultivating separation in the mood of Rupa and Raghunath and attaining the final destination. Radhakund is the means and the magic. Radhakund is the means and the magic to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. The means is to chant Shuddha Nam, pure holy name, in a mood of separation, like a child crying for his mother. And that's the means for the Abhideya, the practice, the sadhana. And the goal is to attain the Siddhadeya on the banks of Radhakund, to serve all these sweet, sweet, sweeter than sweet prem-filled leelas that we've been hearing something about and trying to think about. So this is our final resting place, is Radhakund. It's, of course, it's the most intimate place, it's the highest place. I said it's Braja Mukutmani. It's the crest jewel and the crown of Braj, Radhakund. It should be the crest jewel and the crown of our remembrance. It should be the crest jewel and the crown of our attainment, what we're trying to attain. So Das Goswami has revealed this in a very large way so we can take advantage of it. And Lord Chaitanya across the street is the place, right here is where Lord Chaitanya discovered Radhakund. Right there, across the street. Go out the door and go straight. This is the Baitak, the sitting place of Mahaprabhu. When he came here 500 years ago, he was visiting for 2 months all the places of Leela, in Leela Bhumi Vrindavan. Then he came to this place and he inquired from the local villagers. He said, "Do you know where is Radhakund or Shamakund?" They said, "We don't know. We never heard about that, Shamakund. But in these fields right here, in this place, as you look out here, if you go on the rooftop of any building and look out from the rooftop, you see so many fields. If I look out from my ashram, many, many fields of mustard and wheat and vegetables. And then in the middle of one field, I see some body of water. And that body of water, it shrinks or expands according to the seasons. Sometimes it's very, very small in the summer season. Sometimes it's bigger in the rainy season. It's a body of water in the middle of the fields." So when Lord Chaitanya came here, they said, "I don't know, there's these fields here, we have some small little water holes. We call Gori, this field we call this Gori Kate. This is Gori Kate and Kali Kate. Kate means field, farm. Maybe you can find over there. Gori means fair, golden, and Kali means black, dark." So Lord Chaitanya came here, he came to these fields, and he saw some little bit of water. He said, this is Radhakund. They're just calling it, they think it's a mud hole. They think it's some black mud hole, some black mitti, some black clay. Have you ever seen Radhakund Tilak? You've seen Radhakund Tilak? What color is it? Black. Dark black. So this is a mitti, the clay. So there was some black clay in this little tiny pool, next to it another pool. And Lord Shiva says, yes, yes, this is Radhakund, Shyamakund. He went there. I was pulling the water up like this. Yes, Radhakund, Shyamakund. In great ecstasy when he discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund. At that time, Radha and Krishna combined his Gauranga. He was feeling, now I've discovered it, because Rupa Goswami couldn't discover Radhakund and Shyamakund. Sanatana Goswami didn't discover it. Lokanath Goswami didn't discover it. Bhugarbha Goswami didn't discover it. They all came on the order of Lord Chaitanya to reveal the tirthas, the holy places. They couldn't find this, because this is the very heart of Radharani. So Radharani had to come herself as Gauranga and reveal her heart to the world. So Gauranga came to reveal the heart of Radha and Krishna to the world by revealing personally himself Radhakund and Shyamakund. That's his speciality. So he sat there remembering all the leelas, he was crying. And so many of his own tears mixed into the Radhakund and Shyamakund, those small little puddles. Then gradually by his will, by the will of God, by the will of Krishna and Lord Gauranga, Radhakund and Shyamakund became developed and expanded to what we see it today. It all started with the sitting place of Lord Chaitanya, he discovered here. So now we see that Radhakund is Radharani, Shyamakund is Sham. But I mentioned that when Lord Chaitanya discovered it, then he dropped all of his tears there. He cried so much. So then Gauranga's tears mixed in Radhakund and Shyamakund. Radhakund is one kund and Shyamakund is another. But now they're both mixed with Gauranga's tears. So every so often, what we find is that the Radhakund and Shyamakund become one. In the rainy season, the waters rise, the level of water rises in Shyamakund and Radhakund, and they become one. The Sangam is, the meeting point is under the water. It becomes one large kund, and then it's called Gaurakund. Radhakund and Shyamakund become Gaurangakund, Gaurakund. So that's when the mercy is really flowing, because that's when all those tears of Gauranga, when he discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund, that's when they're really moving in a merciful way. I don't know how many devotees have seen Gaurakund. There's Radhakund, Shyamakund, and Gaurakund. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. So this is the mercy of Lord Gauranga. He's given us this Radhakund and Shyamakund to aspire for, to worship, to remember, to serve. And that's why we come here. And so many wonderful heartly books have arisen from the banks of Radhakund. Raghunath Das Goswami, he actually taught the heart of Raghunuga Bhakti. He revealed the process to develop the heart of a Raghunuga Bhakti, Rasamayi Sadhana. How to perform Rasamayi Sadhana. Sadhana, or worship of Radha and Krishna, which is full of Braja Ras, Madhurya Ras. He gave one poem called Vilap Kusumanjali. It's one poem in a collection of poems called Stavavali. And in there, in Vilap Kusumanjali, he compresses everything that one needs to know about how to love Radha and Krishna. It's such a deep and important book, Vilap Kusumanjali. Maybe it's in Russian. You have it in Russian? Very, very wonderful presentation. So this also manifested from the heart of Radhakund and Shyamakund and from the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. It's one of the primary books, you can say, for devotees that want to go deeper into sadhana bhakti and come to Raghunuga sadhana bhakti. It's very much important. Vilap Kusumanjali. So I think I'm going to stop there. And that's it for today. I have some kirtan. Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe.
Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Govinda. Radhe Radhe Govinda. Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Radhe. Vrindavan Dham, Pavana Radhe Tero Nam, Pavana Shri Vrindavan Dham. Radhe Tero Nam, Pavana Shri. Pavana Radhe Tero Nam, Pavana Shri Vrindavan Dham. Pavana Shri Vrindavan. Pavana Radhe Pavana Sham. Pavana Radhe Pavana Sham. Jaya Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Sham. Jaya Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Sham. Jaya Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam. Pavana Radhe, Tero Nam. Pavana Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam. Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam. Pavana Radhe Tero Nam. Pavana Shri Vrindavan Dham. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radhe.